probably mean, when you were young, did your parents or those who were caring for you, did they take you to church? Did you go to Sunday school? That kind of stuff. But today, this question has sort of a double meaning. Did you grow up in church? It might mean, because I know many of you grew up in some kind of church environment, but it might mean something else. It might mean for our purposes today, since you've been in church, since you've been associated with God's household, God's people, have you grown up? So did you grow up in church has something to do with what your background is, but it also has something to do with what's been going on inside you since you've been in a church environment. My friend, Pete Scazzaro, wrote a book called The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And Pete was kind enough to quote me in the book, but of all the things he could have quoted, all the wise things he could have quoted me as saying, this is what he chose. Jay, one of our church members, recently shared with me, I was a Christian for 22 years, but instead of being a 22-year-old Christian, I was a one-year-old Christian 22 times. I just kept doing the same things over and over and over again. So thanks, Pete, for of all the things you could have put in that book, so that everybody who reads the book knows that this is my story. I was doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I don't want to presume that that was your experience, but that was definitely my experience in a lot of ways, that I didn't grow up in a church environment. I grew up in a Jewish home in a faraway land, a place called Brooklyn. And my folks took me to synagogue, and then it was all the way until I got to college that I met Jesus people, and then I read Jesus' book, and then I met Jesus as a sophomore in college a long time ago. So I didn't grow up in church, but after I came to Christ at the age of 18, I did grow up, but there are other aspects in which I didn't grow up, and there are other aspects of my life in which I was doing the same thing over and over and over again and just not actually growing up. And so to be a part of the church fellowship, to be a follower of Jesus, as you know, it's not just coming on Sunday. It's not just doing this little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's seizing the opportunity to take inventory, to figure out where I am, where I want to be, who could help me, and to actually intentionally and with awareness grow up in the context of God's house, of the church. If you have a Bible, either analog or digital, analog looks like this. If you have this, it's called an analog Bible. If you have what Uncle Jim has, that's called a digital Bible. So if you have an analog Bible, flip, these are called pages. You can flip the pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you have a digital Bible, I don't know what you have to do to get there. So you'll figure it out. The most extended treatment of what it means to grow up in church and body life and how we help each other grow up in church is found in Paul's letter to the Corinthian believers, chapters 12, 13, and 14. Today we're going to look at chapter 12, and as God permits, this will be the longest series. This will be the most spread out series in the history of preaching, because if God wills, I will be speaking again in November. We'll do chapter 13. That's everybody's favorite chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. Drew or someone is reading that this very moment out on Long Island, Albin and Kira's wedding. And all the way in December, Lord willing, we'll do chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14. But today, we're going to begin this unit, and it is a unit in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. Paul helps us answer the question, how has your experience of being part of a church community helped you to grow up? Here's our big idea for the morning, and you'll see it on your outline. We grow up in church when we do three things. We grow up in church when, one, when we find our place. That is, we ask ourselves the question, we answer the question, in what community has God planted me for this season of my life? Now, for many of you folks here, this is a brand new experience. Some perhaps are being part of a church community for the very first time. Others are coming from somewhere else. But many of us have or are in the midst of answering that question, in what community has God planted me for this season of my life? And we grow up in church when we discern our grace. First, we have to find our place, and then we have to discern our grace. This is as poetic as I get, folks. Place, grace, and space. We find our place. Where does God want me for this season? Then we discern our grace. We answer the question, how has God designed me to serve the common good? God has built into me, and God wants me to cultivate certain gifts and talents and graces to serve the common good. And then we grow up in church all together when we create safe space. That is, we answer the question, how can I contribute to making Hope Church a safe and attractive place where people can be loved into God's kingdom? So 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is answering the question, or is encouraging us to ask the question, did you grow up and how are you growing up in church? I want to say a little bit about Corinth. Paul wrote this letter to the believers in a Greek town called Corinth. It still exists today. It's a port city. It's a diverse city, a cosmopolitan city, a business center. A lot of Greeks in Corinth, first century. Actually, they're all Greeks, I guess, and a lot of Greek restaurants in Corinth. So what neighborhood does that remind you of? It's diverse, it's cosmopolitan, there's a lot of business going on, a lot of Greeks, a lot of Greek. There we go, that's right. So there was an upside. It must have been a really rocking place to live, but there was a downside, too, to this church in Corinth. In fact, there was a verb form that was coined sometime in little before or during the first century, the verb to Corinthianize. Can you guess what that means? I can't actually say what that means here. To Corinthianize means to engage in lewd, immoral behavior because Corinth had a reputation sort of like the worst parts of New York and L.A. and Las Vegas all rolled into one. And so there's a lot of good stuff going on in Corinth in the first century, a lot of nasty, painful stuff going on in Corinth in the first century, a lot of idol worshippers. There was a Jewish community, a Jewish synagogue. And then God sent Paul there. He had a vision of someone saying, come over and help us. So he got on a boat, and he went over there, and he stayed for a year and a half, for 18 months. And by the end of his time, there was a small but thriving community of Christians in Corinth. And Paul wrote at least two letters, because we have two letters in the New Testament, to the church at Corinth. This morning, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to boil down what he says about living in community and growing a community in three points. So our first point is that we grow up in the context of community when we learn to find our place. We ask and we answer the question, in what community has God planted me for this season of my life? And I want to suggest some criteria for how you might know where God is planting you in any given season of your life. The first criterion is, in which Christian community do I feel safe? Can I heal? Can I change, grow, and experience life? That may sound like a lot of criteria, but I'm trying to say the same thing in a number of different ways. When I'm thinking of where God is planting me, where should I be for this season of life, I want to ask myself the question. I just don't want to walk blindly into anywhere that has a cross on the door. I don't want to do that. I want to be a little smarter, a little more discerning than that. So one thing I want to ask myself is, if I'm checking out this community, do I feel safe? If I'm checking out this community, does it seem like a place where I can heal? If I'm checking out this community, does it seem a place where they encourage change? There's safety and there's a message of healing. There's support, but there's also encouragement and challenge. Like, hey, we don't want you just to wallow in your pain for the rest of your life. We love you as you are, but we love you too much to let you stay as you are. So is there an emphasis on change and growth? And is this church experiencing life? Now, some of these are more tangible, some of these are more intangible. But these are the questions we want to ask ourselves when we're checking out a new place to belong to and to really sink down our roots. Ephesians chapter 4 in the Message translation has a passage that says this. It says, talking about Jesus, it says, Jesus handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work. This is about God equipping his body, working within Christ's body, the church, until we all are moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. That's a mouthful. I'm going to read that again. That God gave all of these gifts to his body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive in Christ. If you're checking out Hope Church NYC, is this a place where you feel safe? Is this a place where you feel, you know, I think I could experience healing. I've been busted up. I've been broken up. So relationships, health, finances, life in general, coming at me every which way. Is this a place where I could sit and soak and experience some healing? Can I change here? Can I just sort of hide behind my chair or hide over there? Or people are going to come after me and say, you know, we love you so much. We just don't want you to be stuck in your pain. Can I heal and change and grow? And in general, can I experience life in this place? So that's one criteria, and that's one way to answer the question, in what community has God planted me in this season of my life? Another question that we have to ask and answer is, in which Christian community can I best serve the common good? And we're going to focus on that a little more in just a minute in point two. But I want to say something special about this church, especially today. This day, as Craig said, this is a day like no other, because this is the end of one season, and when you come here, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, that's going to be the very beginning of a very new season. That'll be the public launch of this church, so you're getting in. If you are become part of this church in the near future, or if you've been on the launch team, you're absolutely getting in on the ground floor. Do we sell stock? Have we been selling stock in this church? Because if we are, now's the time to get in on the ground floor. And one way to buy stock in what God's doing in this church is to discern and figure out, is this the place I'm supposed to be? And how can I serve the common good? What role can I play? Because right now, there's never been a time like this in the history of Hope Church NYC. There's needs for everything. There's a need for every possible ministry, every possible kind of service right now, because we're just getting started. So we ask and answer the question, in what community has God planted me or our family for this season of our life? So we ask, is it safe here? Is there healing, change, growth? Is there life here? And then we ask, how can I best serve the common good here? Can I even do that? Is there room for my gifts here? We're going to get to that in just a moment in an expanded way. And then a third aspect of answering the question for ourselves, in what community has God planted me, is who and where are the people with whom we have face-to-face relationships? So Drew would say, if he was here, that you could come on Sunday morning for the rest of your, if you live to 120, you can come on Sunday morning, but you may miss the real heart of Hope Church NYC, which is face-to-face contact. This is good. This is important. The preaching, the worship, the coffee, the everything, all of this is good. The heart of the experience of the body of Christ is face-to-face interactions, where there's teaching and learning going on mutually, where we're receiving support and being challenged, where we're getting our sharp edges knocked off. So that's the difficult part. So truth in advertising. If you decide that this is going to be the place for you and you want to get to know people face-to-face and you want to really, really enter into the body life of this church, and you come with some sharp edges, that is, if you're a human being, you're going to get some of those sharp edges knocked off. I mean, of course, you will be knocking off other people's sharp edges too, if that's any consolation. But that's what happens when people get together face-to-face. They are supported and they're challenged and they grow and change, not without pain, but it's with love, it's with grace, it's with forgiveness, it's with a good sense of humor. And do I have face-to-face relationships in this place where I'm learning to love well? And then we're going to get to that, Lord willing, in November. We talk about 1 Corinthians 13, because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Because we can have a great service, worship, preaching, space, air conditioning, all of that good stuff. And if we're not learning to love well in a real face-to-face kind of way, where we're getting our edges knocked off of each other, Paul says, I'll give you a little preview. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and even of angels but don't have love, I'm like a noisy gong. I've never done that before. How was that? Was that right? Okay, thank you, yeah. Because love is the heart, love is the key. And it's okay. Sometimes we don't quite feel safe yet. We're just trying to fit in. We're sort of tentative. We come, we listen, we're checking it out, we come, we go. But the real test of should I put my roots down here is we got to get to know people face to face. And it's a risk. I'm telling you, if you're thinking of being a part of this community, that means you're thinking of taking a risk to see, are these people really going to love me well? As they get to know me, as they get to know my story, are they going to love me well? I do believe with all my heart the answer in this place is yes. But you don't know until you try. So part of growing up in church, growing up in God's household, is in what community has God planted me for this season of my life? Where am I going to find some stability in this season of my life? So we grow up by asking those questions. Where do I feel safe? Where can I grow? Where can I experience full-bodied community? But we also, our second point, is we also grow up in the context of the church, not only when we find our place, but when we discern our grace. And now we're going to talk about answering the question, how has God designed me to serve the common good? We live in a generation where, in so many ways, it really is all about me. And if you go to the newsstand, there's me and us, and I, me, and myself, and there's all these magazines, and there's a huge focus, a huge narcissistic focus in our culture. That's not a newsflash to any of us. But growing up in church has something to do with me discerning my grace and us discerning our grace. How could I feel safe and feel included and feel loved and then step out and take another risk and serve the common good? So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, analog or digital, Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And then he gives us a list, starting in verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7. He says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. So some people bring wisdom to the body. Other people bring knowledge. Other people stir up our faith. Other people bring healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Paul gives this whole list here. Then he says in verse 11, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. So before you were born and when you were being raised and all of your life experiences, good, bad, and indifferent, the nature part of you, the nurture part of you, even the trauma, even the loss and the pain part that you've experienced, that all has contributed to get you here today. And if you're going to be part of this body today and going forward, you have a contribution to make. You have a unique contribution to make, and no one, until we perfect cloning, no one has ever existed who is you. You're it. God's deposit in you, nobody else could do. Does that make anybody feel a little bit nervous? Please raise your hand. Okay, well, then I really haven't gotten my point across because I want you to feel it. I want you to feel the weight of that and the import of that. That there's never been, in all the 7 billion people who are living today and all the billions past, there's never been a you. And if you become part of this fellowship, or wherever you are, maybe you're visiting, certainly if you're part of here, if you become part of this family here, you have an irreplaceable, unique contribution to make. So I want you to feel the fear of that a little bit and the weight of that a little bit, and I want you to feel the joy of that. Like really, if I find my way and I try this, and we may have to try a couple of things. Like if you join a baseball team or a soccer team, football team, they put you at shortstop, first base, outfield. It may take us a while to find our place. But if you become part of this fellowship, you will have a contribution that is unique and irreplaceable. No one can be you in this body. So I want you to feel it and embrace it. That's part of how we grow up. How do we discern what we're supposed to be doing, the grace that God has given us? I think of three things, relatively briefly. I think of what brings me joy, what gifts and graces do others see and affirm in me, and where do I bear good fruit? I'll go backwards. How do I discern my grace in the community that I'm a part of? What brings me joy? There's no end of good things to do. Even here it is, There's score, dozens at least, if not more, of really good things to do. So why not choose the thing that brings you most joy? 1981, the film that won the best Oscar, the Oscar for Best Motion Picture, was Chariots of Fire, the story of the Scotsman Eric Little, or Liddell, I'm not sure, from the early 20s. He was a Scot who ran in the Olympics. He was a committed Christian. He would not run on Sunday in the Olympics. And through his not running on Sunday, but having to change it up and winning anyway, he had a great testimony. After the Olympics, he went back to school, and he finished his graduate studies, went to China, and rejoined his parents, who was a missionary in China, was interred in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in the war, and died 5 months before the camp was liberated in 1945. This is the story of the athlete hero and the missionary hero, Eric Little. But in the movie, now they might have dramatized it, but it works for me. In the movie, his sister, his older sister, is just so desperate to get him, just forget about this running stuff and this athletic stuff. Just finish your studies and focus on your studies and come back and join me and mom and dad on the mission field. And he says, and it's this windswept hill in Scotland, he says, "Jenny, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." And I can never hear that, and I can never think about it, never say it without like sort of choking up. God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. One huge criterion for how God has gifted you, for how to discern our grace, the grace that God wants you to bring to the body, is what gives you joy. Sometimes, sometimes, we have for a season, we have to do things that we have to clean toilets. We got to change diapers. We got to sweep floors. Sometimes we got to do things that are not the most funnest things ever. But in the long run, to really bring your whole self to the body, you're going to have to find the place where when you do this, it is so exciting. You're so full of joy. And this is my thing. This is what I was made for. You ever say that to yourself? This is what I was made for. We discern our grace and what we're bringing to the body as we discern what brings us joy. And then, what gifts and graces do others see and affirm in me? If I think I'm a great drummer based on that, and other people say, well, maybe you should stick to preaching, or maybe you should make the coffee, Jay, or maybe you just goes on the drums, not so good, not so hot. So I want to understand what brings me joy, but I also want to be open and teachable and humble to hear from others what they think I'm good at, because sometimes I can see myself clearly, but a lot of times I can't. A lot of times I deceive myself, I fool myself, or I just don't have full knowledge of myself, and I need the input of others. Has helped me tremendously over these years to hear the feedback that other people have for what I'm doing, and they say, "Yeah, Jay, why don't you do a little less of that, a little less drumming, and a little more of this." So I want to figure out what brings me joy, and I want to be humble and teachable and get feedback from others. And then finally, I want to bear good fruit, because it could be that this makes me happy and people say, "Yeah, why don't you go ahead and try to do that?" But I try for weeks, months, years, and you know, I just don't bear fruit. Just nothing good happens. And again, sometimes I can tell that, and a lot of times I need feedback from others. And friends, that's painful feedback. At least for me, that's painful feedback when people say, you know, you've been giving it your all and you seem to enjoy this, but it's just not happening, Jay. It's just not happening. And why don't you make a little bit of a lateral shift and try something else? That's hard for me. When people have told me that a number of times over the years, honestly, that's hard for me. But I want to get feedback. An old professor of mine said, feedback is the breakfast of champions. So I want to hear what other people have to say. I want to discern my joy, what brings me joy in life. I want to get people's feedback, and I want to see what bears fruit. So another way that we grow up in God's household, we find our place. Where am I supposed to be? We discern our grace. How has God designed me to serve the common good? And then finally, we grow up in God's household altogether when we create safe space. We answer the question, how can I help make Hope Church a safe and attractive place for people to be loved into God's kingdom? I was here speaking a couple of weeks ago, and as I was walking up the block from my car, saw someone come out of their house just a few doors down. And by the look of this guy and sort of how he carried himself, I thought, you know, he probably saw our sign, Hope Church, but he ain't coming in. He's probably not coming in. Because I'm thinking, this guy that I saw come out of his house a few doors down, his concept of church is probably, now again, I didn't talk to the guy, so I don't know. I'm guessing his concept of church is probably, well, I got to dress differently, and I sort of got to cover up my tattoos and take my piercings out, and I got to, not true, obviously not true in Hope Church NYC, but that's what he might think, because he doesn't know that we're trying to be a safe, open, supportive, sympathetic, non-judgmental place. We're trying to be a safe and attractive place for all sorts of people and for everybody. We want to be a safe, safe, safe place. And so we grow up in God's household when we create safe space. We could talk for a long time about that. I have 2 points on that in the notes. One is we're creating safe space when we're honoring those with special needs. And like it says on the subway, sometimes they're obvious and sometimes they're not. So give people a seat. If they say, can I have your seat? Just don't ask questions like, what's your problem? What's your disability? Don't ask them. Just give them your seat. Be good New Yorkers and make a good impression on the visitors to New York, all right? So we create safe space when we honor those with special needs. And of course, some special needs are visible and some are less visible. And we honor those with special needs when we, first of all, accept our own limitations. Because sometimes other people's limitations scare me because they remind me of my limitations and I don't want to think about my limitations. So as I think, spend some time thinking about, yeah, I have special needs too. I have certain needs too. I'm not all that, and I'm weak all the time and needy and vulnerable. I have special needs, so maybe that'll make me more comfortable with this person who seems to have special needs. And we honor those with special needs when we slow down and pay attention. And in this world, in this country, and above all, in this city, it's hard to slow down and pay attention to people who are different than me. And it's those people that I'm walking down the street, and they're walking slow in front of me, and I'm thinking, why are they walking slow in front of me? And I take it personally. That's part of my craziness. If you have time later over a cup of coffee, I'll tell you more about my craziness. But that's part of my craziness, is I think that the people driving slow in front of me, the people walking slow in front of me are doing that to me deliberately. I think that technically that's called paranoia, I think. But I got to slow down, and I got to pay attention to the needs of those around me. That, to me, is called the gift of hospitality. And we honor those with special needs. We create safe space when we ask. Just ask them straight out, hey, what is this like for you? I see you have this need or you have this going on. What is this like for you? I really want to know because I don't know and I really want to know. So we create safe space at Hope Church by honoring those with special needs and by suffering well with each other and rejoicing well. That's Romans 12:15 for those who are still taking notes. Romans 12:15, Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And we create safe space when we can come up to people and we can match their mood and we can experience attunement with them. We could be on the same page as them by listening to their story, being happy for them when they're happy, and just weeping and just sort of suffering together with them when they're down. And in that way, we create safe space because the verse doesn't say rejoice with those who rejoice. And when people are weeping, tell them to cheer up or tell them, oh, you think that's bad? Let me tell you what happened to me. Or right off the bat, we give them a verse. No, we want to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep and cry with those who cry. That's one way we create safe space for those in the household of God. Okay. My wife is a good question asker. I have learned so much from her about asking questions. Where you're from? Where'd you grow up? Did your folks grow up in America? They move here. Another question that I learned from her and that we could use just in a sort of casual way is, did you grow up in church? When you were growing up, when you were a baby, did your parents bring you to church, Sunday school, the whole thing? But another way that we might ask that of ourselves and each other, if you ask it for yourself, you could be sort of pointed. If you ask it to somebody else, you may be a little more gentle. Did you grow up in church? Have you been growing up, whatever church fellowship you've been a part of in the past or the present, or if you're thinking about this becoming a church home, do you anticipate growing up here? Have you had safe space in the past? Have you found a place that's safe and life-giving? Have you been able to serve and make a contribution, bring your unique you-ness into a church environment? And have you been in places where safe space has been created for you and you've been learning how to create safe space for others? Because in all these ways, finding our place and discerning our grace and creating safe space, we grow up. Because this is a family like any other family, and we're all helping each other to grow up. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, 12, 13, and 14. Did you grow up in church? Let's pray. Lord, it is our heart's desire to grow up. And when I think of what Pete wrote in his book, that there were seasons in my life where I was not a 22-year-old or a 25-year-old, or you may be a one-year-old Christian or a six-month-old Christian, or not even yet. When I think of the seasons where I've done the same thing in the same way over and over and over again when I wasn't growing up, it's painful. It was painful. And perhaps you've had seasons where you've just been stuck, where you've wanted to grow, but it's just been hard to grow. So, Lord, we want to receive this grace from you. We want to receive this grace to grow up in your household, to find the right household of God to be part of, to discern our best contribution, our own unique contribution, and then to really have safe space created for us, to luxuriate in that and enjoy that, and then to create safe space for other people. Because all together, Lord, we don't want to be stuck. We don't want to do the same thing in the same way over and over and over. We really do want to grow up in your household. So would you make it happen? Would you take these words to take root downward and to bear fruit upward, that we may, by your grace, grow up in church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jay.